Hey, good morning, everybody. So we left off. Well, what we discussed last time, I left a little bit of confusion. I don't have too many of my svarim here, so I've been relying on Rabbi Sobolovsky's shiurim a lot, and I left off with a little bit of confusion about one point that Rabbi Sobolovsky made. So I listened again this morning. I want to clarify that point that Rabbi Sobolovsky made, and then go weiter in this machlokas between the Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim. How many different shittos of Rabbeinu Ephraim, do you know in all of Halacha? Right, there aren't so many. I don't think that people know. This is like the big one. Rabbeinu Ephraim Bar Chanan is the big one. The other one I think that a lot of people know is Rabbeinu Ephraim about getting drunk on Purim, where he says that the whole Maisa in the Gemara Megillah, where Kam Rabba Shachte the Rabbi Zeira, was just to tell you that you're not supposed to get drunk on Purim. That the whole point was that look what happened when someone got drunk on Purim. He killed somebody. So I think that's Rabbeinu Ephraim as well. Well, there aren't that many well-known Rabbeinu. Oh, another Rabbeinu Ephraim, just Agav. If you have Rabbeinu Ephraim al HaTorah, Rabbeinu Ephraim on Chumash, Rabbeinu Ephraim writes in Parshas Vayechi that Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrov means that Binyamin was a werewolf. That it's Yadua, that there's a certain type of creature that when there's a full moon, a person turns into a wolf, and that's why Yaakov was so afraid to send Binyamin, because what's going to happen if goes to Mitzrayim, and then there's going to be a full moon, and then he's going to turn into a wolf, and then it's going to be, so it's, that's a, believe it or not, Rabbeinu Ephraim. But this Rabbeinu Ephraim that we're dealing with over here is not really a believe it or not. This is like a pretty standard Rabbeinu Ephraim versus Rabbeinu Tam. So let's just backtrack a little bit, go through what we went through in the second half of Shir last time, and then go weiter from there, just to clarify the inyan a little bit further. So the Gemara is explicit on Daf Kuvches, Kuvtes. The Gemara is explicit that there's definitely a connection between Chaticha Nasas Nevela and Efshal Lesochto, right? That if the Chaticha becomes Aser because you didn't have Shishim to be Vatel the chalav that fell on the chaticha, and then you cook that chaticha with a bunch of other chatichos. So there's a discussion: efshal l'sochto aser or efshal l'sochto mutter, right? Efshal l'sochto aser means that if you're able to draw the milk out of the chaticha, nevertheless the chaticha remains aser, meaning there's no way to be matir that original piece of meat that the chalav had initially fallen on. Efshal l'sochto mutter means yes, there is, that even though the chalav fell on a particular piece of meat, you could be matir that piece of meat somehow by drawing the chalav out. And the Gemara is clear that if you say efshal l'sochto mutter, if you say that drawing out the chalav from the meat will be matir that meat, then clearly you do not hold chaticha nasas nevela. And that's very logical. Meaning chaticha nasas nevela means that the problem when the chalav falls onto the basar is not just the chalav. The problem is the basar itself. Chaticha nasas nevela. The basar itself is part of the problem. So what do I care that you could draw out the milk? You'll draw out the milk, but you'll still be left with the Isser, because the Basar is Isser. Chanan says that not only does the milk that was Nivla inside of the meat remain there, but it even makes the entire piece of meat into Nevela, and it requires Shishim Keneged, the entire piece. So if the milk isn't the only problem, and the meat is also part of the problem, the fact that I can remove the milk does nothing for me. In other words, Chaticha Nasas Nevela works with the assumption that Efshal L'Sochto Aser, that the milk doesn't come out of the Chaticha, or even if it does, it doesn't make a difference. That's a connection that the Gemara itself makes. Now, the Gemara does not talk about the opposite equation. It does not tell us that just because you hold that you reject chaticha nasas nevela, that it must be that you hold efshal sochto mutter, that you reject efshal sochto aser. Meaning, it's possible that whatever was nivla remains there, efshal sochto aser, but that it does not make the entire chaticha into nevela, into chatichas iser. In basa b'chalav, certainly we paskin chanan according to everybody in basa b'chalav, or according to all rishonim, and efshal l'sochto Aser, right? If you hold Chanan, so there's no, this discussion is a moot point, right? If you hold of Chanan, then we know what we hold. If you hold of Chanan, then you have to hold Evshel Softo Aser. And since we hold Chanan by Basar Mechalav, the question of what would be about Evshel Softo if you didn't hold of Chanan would be a purely academic question, L'chora. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, L'chora, it is a purely academic question. Because Rabbeinu Tam holds Chadik Nasa Veli even by Shari Surim. So I'm going to get involved in the discussion. Oh, but what if I didn't? What if I didn't hold Chadik Nasa Veli by Shari Surim? So what would I hold about Evshel Softo? I don't care. I hold Chadik Nasavela by everything, by Basar Mechalav and by Shari Surim. So there's no reason for a discussion. But according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, you have an issue. Because according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Ephraim does not hold of Chatich Nasan's available by Shari Surim. What does he hold about Efshar L'Sochto? So does he also reject Efshar L'Sochto Asur? Does he necessarily hold Efshar L'Sochto Mutter? So this is a machlokas between the Tur and the Rashba. The Tur holds that, yes, the equation works in both directions. Just like holding Chanan means you also hold Efshel Sochto Aser, rejecting Chanan means you hold Efshel Sochto Mutter. So that's the equation that the Torah works with. It's logical, it makes sense, that if the Gemara made half of the equation, that the other half would also be true. However, the Rashba, Beis Yosef quotes, the Rashba disagrees. According to the Rashba, even if you hold, that there's no Chanan, that there's no Chatich Nas Nevela Beshari Surim, you could still hold Efshel L'Sochto Aser. Question is why? Why would you hold Efshel L'Sochto Aser? So we had, if you hold that there's no Chanan. So what we mentioned last time, again, just to quickly chazer, is that there are two logical possibilities. There's a logical possibility based on Mitzius, and there's a logical possibility based on Svara. The logical possibility based on Mitzius is that if you say Efshel L'Sochto Aser, what you're probably saying or might be saying is that once one piece was made Aser by getting a blia of Nevela and not having enough of a ratio to be Mevatel that blia Beshishim, then you cannot assume that just because you put that chaticha into a pot of a larger pot of food, and there's a ton of food in the other pot, enough to be mevatel that original blia, that chaticha, the original chaticha, is going to become mutter, because it could be from a mitzius point of view, the original blia is not going to evenly disperse throughout the rest of the pot, that a higher concentration of that original blia will remain in that original chaticha. And therefore, it could be that Efshel L'Sochto is going to be Aser, even though that original chaticha is not Nasas Nevela. It's just that even when you mix it with Shishim, Keneged, the original blia, you don't know that original blia spread evenly through everything. That original blia might be stronger in the original chaticha that it fell into. That's the Mitzius way of looking at it. Then there's a Svara way of looking at it, which is that it could be that you can get most of the time of Nevela out of the original chaticha, as when you put it into a pot that has more than Shishim. But the fact that any Nevela remains, any time Nevela remains in that original chaticha, is enough to make it Aser. Question is why? Why would that be the case? Why would it be that just because when the original blia went into the chaticha there was no shishim, that means that even when there is shishim subsequently, it's not going to be machshirit. It's not going to be. Why would you say Efshel L'Sochto Aser? So we'll get to that in a moment. But the clear nafkamina between the Mitzius understanding of the Rashba and the Svara understanding of the Rashba, and again, just to be clear, the Rashba is trying to explain how it's possible that you could reject Chanan and still hold Efshel L'Sochto Aser. So we have one possibility that it's based on a reality, on a metzius, that the bli is never going to entirely leave. And we have the other possibility that it's not based on a metzius, it's just based on the idea that at the initial taroves, when that blia first went into that chaticha, there was no bittel, mimela, nothing you do afterwards is going to change that. So nafkamina might be, well, if you have a guy, you have a kfeil armal, let him taste it and let him see if he could taste anything. If the concern is a metzias concern, that there might be such a high concentration of the trefa blia in that original chaticha that it may still be there, good, a guy will taste it and he'll tell you if it's there or not, at least according to the Mechaber, a guy could taste it and he could tell you if it's there or not. But if the concern is, no, I don't care if it's there. It could be all gone already. But at the original, or mostly gone already, or 99.99% gone already. But if at the original taroves, it was there, there was no bittel at the original taroves, then the fact that subsequently you put it into a larger pot doesn't change anything. And therefore, the guy not tasting it is not going to help me at all. That would be the nafkamina between the two understandings of the Rashba. The question is, what is behind this second understanding of the Rashba? Again, this second understanding of the Rashba is only necessary for us to explain the Shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's a non-issue, because Rabbeinu Tam says, Chanan. So if you say Chanan, there's nothing to talk about. If you hold Chanan Bishari Surim, so of course, Efshal Lusokhtav Asir. I want to know, if you don't hold of Chanan Bishari Surim, do you still hold Efshal Lusokhtav Asir? So the Svara for this second explanation of the Rashba is going to be very critical over here. And we pointed out last time that Tosos in Maseches Nida quotes a Mishnah in Maseches Kalayim, which talks about a Tarot of Tzemer Pishtim. So Tosus asks, what about Bittel? Why not apply the din of Bittel Barov? And Tosus gives two mahalchim as to why we don't apply Bittel Barov when it comes to Klayim. First of all, it could be that Bittel by definition assumes that there's Isser and Heter clashing, and the Heter overwhelms the Isser. But you're not going to say Bittel Barov on a Dovra Mutter, meaning Bittel Barov works by a Heter beating out the Isser, overwhelming the Isser, overpowering the Isser. That's the tshuva, the Onog Yom Tov. The Onog Yom Tov has the tshuva we've discussed in the past, that if you have matzahs or tzitzis or whatever, as something that requires a sense of lishma, right, and you have a taroves of some tzitzis strings that were made lishma and some that were not made lishma. You have matzahs that were made lishma, matzahs that were not made lishma. So do you say that the ones that were made shelo lishma are batel and the ones that were made lishma? Now, wait a second. A matzah that is not chametz, but you didn't make it l'shei mitzvahs matzah, right? You just were careful that it shouldn't become chametz, but you didn't make it l'shei mitzvahs matzah. It's not usur, you could eat it throughout Pesach, you're just not mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah on the first night with it. You have a string that is not made l'shei mitzvah, since it's not usur, there's nothing wrong with the string, you just can't be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis with it. So would you apply bittel barov in such a case? So says the Onog Yom Tov, maybe not, because bittel barov only works to take a quality and overwhelm that quality. Heter is not a quality. That's what we discussed last time. Everything is mutter until proven usser. Heter is simply the absence of isser. So you never find that bittel is going to give something the status of lishma. Bittel will take over, will overwhelm a characteristic of isser. So then it could follow that there can't be bittel barov on a dovra mutter. So you have tzemer, mutter, pishtim, mutter. So you're not going to have bittel barov, because bittel barov can't get rid of a dvar heter. That's where Vilchanan points out that this logic doesn't necessarily work, because it could be that heter is a status. It could be that everything is usher until proven mutter, right? It could be that heter is a chalos, that there is such a thing as a status of heter. Rav Chanan discusses, you know, what was the case, where he talks about Eid Echad Kenegad being Neman Kenegad Cheskas Isser, right? So Rav Chanan discusses Machlok Rishon, whether an Eid Echad is Neman against the Cheskas Isser. So Rav Chanan discusses, would an Eid Echad Neman be Neman Kenegad Cheskas Heter? right? So it may depend on whether heter is a status or it's the absence of iser, right? That if it's a status, so then the same machlokas you have about an erechad keneged cheskas iser would apply about an erechad keneged cheskas heter. But if it's not a status, heter isn't a thing, so there is no, it's not really keneged anything. It's just the erechad. So then, of course, the erechad would be neman. So it may totally depend on whether it's a status or not. But that's one mahalich in Tosfos as to why we don't simply apply the dinim of bittul vis-a-vis the kalayim. The other approach Tosfos says is no. Whenever you have two different items, that the combination of the two is what generates iser. It's not about the fact that that you're trying to be mevatel heter. It's that you have a unique kind of iser which is only created by putting together two dvarim amutarim. So if you have something that the Torah says is aser happens to fall into something that's heter, so then the you can have a concept of bittul. But when you have the Torah specifically tell you that the combination of these two items generates iser, so the coexistence of these two items is the problem. So you can't say that one is going to be mevatel the other. If the two of them are together, that's the problem. When I have nevela falls into my kosher chicken soup, nevela's my problem. So good, so my kosher chicken soup could overwhelm the nevela. But when I have tzemer and pishtim, when I have basar and chalav, neither the basar is the problem, nor the chalav is the problem. It's the coexistence of the two that's the problem. Neither the tzemer is the problem, nor the pishtim is the problem. It's a coexistence of the two that's the problem. So then you're not going to say bittul. That's the second mahalich of Tosos. So the Rush points out that both of those explanations l'chora are problematic, because according to both of those explanations, bittul berov should not work for basar b'chalav. Basar b'chalav is heter, and basar b'chalav is the classic case of the problem being the coexistence of the two. That neither one is the source of the problem, the coexistence of the two is the problem. So neither, whether you say like the first explanation, there's no such thing as bittul of heter. So basar b'chalav also shouldn't have bittul, because it's all heter. Basar is heter, chalav is heter. Or whether you say like the second explanation, that there can't be bittul when the entire problem is the coexistence of the two. So vayter, you can't have bittul, you shouldn't be able to have bittul by basar b'chalav. And yet, of course you have bittul by basar b'chalav. It's all we're learning about. The whole hilchus basar b'chalav would be a joke if we didn't have to think about bittul at all. So the Rush explains, and this was the Chiddush we pointed out last time, we're still in Chazar from last time, that there really is no bittul in basar b'chalav. Whoa! I mean, that's like a mind-blowing Chiddush, that there's no bittul in basar b'chalav. The whole concept of bittul doesn't exist in basar b'chalav, at least not in the way that we normally describe bittul. He said, no, if chalav falls into basar, it's mutter, but not because of bittul the way we think of it in Hilchas Taroves. It's because by basar b'chalav there's a concept of derech bishul asra Torah, that the only time basar b'chalav is asr is if you are mevashel basar and chalav, and you do it in a way of derech bishul. Why would I ever add an ingredient to a pot? I only add an ingredient if I think it's going to add some time, if I think it's going to be beneficial, if I think it's going to add some taste. And that's why if you put in a tiny amount of milk that's not even no same time into the basar, it's not bittul from a hilchus tarova sense. It's not derech bishul. So if it's not derech bishul, then it's not going to be a problem. This is based on the Gemara in Daf Kuf Ches, where Rava says that there's no problem of basar b'chalav when there's less than no same time, even though basar b'chalav is a chiddush and shouldn't follow the regular rules of bittul. So why? Because derech bishul asra Torah, says Rava in Daf Kuf Ches. So the sugyas of bittul by basar b'chalav have nothing to do with the sugyas of bittul by tarovis. So says the Rush. Now, that idea of how bittul works by basar b'chalav may help us understand the second explanation of the Rashba for Rabbeinu Ephraim. Again, the Rashba wanted to say that according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, that we reject Chanan Bishar Isurim. Maybe you still hold Efshal V'Sochto Aser. Why? Because Efshel L'Sochto Aser tells us that we only look at the original point of Taroves, not when you then take that Chaticha and mix it with everything else. So the Rashba claimed that even though you can get rid of most of the Tam Nevela, 99.9% of the Tam Nevela from that original Chaticha, to the point that it's not Nosein Tam at all in the original Chaticha, the Chaticha is still going to be Aser. Efshel L'Sochto Aser. Why? If you're dealing with regular rules of Bittul in Hilchas Taroves, then there is no there should be no problem over here. We should not say Efshel L'Sochto Aser. The Bittul happened. It's gone. But now that we know that there is this concept of Derech Bishul Asra Torah, it makes sense to look at the point of Bishul. If it's about Derech Bishul, point meaning not the purpose of, meaning the point in time, the moment of Bishul, the moment of the creation of that Taroves, was that Derech Bishul? And if it was Derech Bishul, then that's it. It's Usher forever. Oh, but the Tam is going to be Batel. That's the Din Hilchas Taroves about Tam being Batel. Initially, when you first had that Chalav go into the Basar, that was Derech Bishul. At some point later, the Tam is going to be gone. The food's going to be Usher because it doesn't matter that the Tam is gone. This isn't Hilchas Taroves. It's Hilchas Basar B'Chalav. And that means that even if Chatichas Nas Nevela doesn't apply, you would still apply, I mean, even if you reject Chatich Nas Nevela, you would still say Efshel L'Sochto Aser. Now, by Basar B'Chalav, that makes a lot of sense. And this is where we got stuck last time, right? By Basar B'Chalav, that makes a lot of sense. That by Basar B'Chalav, if you're going to reject Chanan, which none of us do, we all accept Chanan by Basar B'Chalav, but Lu Yitzuyu, if you're going to reject Chanan by Basar B'Chalav, I understand that you could still say Efshel L'Sochto Aser. What about by Shari Surim, though? We're trying to explain Rabbeinu Ephraim b'Shari Surim, right? By Shari Surim, there is no concept of Derech Bishul. So haven't we just gone in a circle, and this is where we got stuck last? Haven't we just gone in a circle and ended up nowhere? So the point that was missing that Rabbi Sabalowski wanted to say is that you could argue that while it shouldn't apply to Shari Surim, whatever is true of Basar B'Chalav on a Doraisa level is true of Shari Surim on a Drabanan level. Meaning that if by Basar B'Chalav on a Doraisa level, we would say Efshel L'Sochto Aser, why? Derech Bishul Asra Torah. So by Shari Surim, we're going to make a Gzeira Atu Basar B'Chalav. We're going to make a Gzeira Efshel L'Sochto. The logic doesn't apply by Shari Surim because there's no Derech Bishul. But by Shari Surim, we'll make a Gzeira Efshel L'Sochto Aser Atu Basar B'Chalav. The problem with using that to explain Rabbeinu Ephraim is that if you really wanted to make a Gezerah of Shari Surim Atu Basar B'Chalav, it would seem like an odd choice to say, I'm going to make a Gezerah that Efshel L'Sochto Aser by Shari Surim Atu Basar B'Chalav, yet my name is Rabbeinu Ephraim, so I hold Chanan by Basar B'Chalav, but no Chanan by Shari Surim. Meaning, if you're so inclined to be gozer, a gzeira midrabanan, shari surim atu basar b'chalav, wouldn't it make a lot more sense to just be gozer chanan by shari surim? So Rabbeinu Ephraim is going to say, no, I think there's no problem with chanan b'shari surim. There's no din of chanan b'shari surim. But I'm going to make a gzeira of efshel l'sochto aser by shari surim atu basar b'chalav? That's a bit of a stretch, right? So this whole explanation really lands us nowhere in the end, but not because of the reason that we said last time. Meaning, it's just another step that takes us to nowhere. So it's like I always think there used to be when you would try to get onto the Harlem River Drive over the Triborough Bridge. You go through this place in Harlem, and then there was a street that led just to the water. Like I always thought that was like for like mob bosses. Like you'd go down that street to dump the body. Like it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't lead. So like here we're heading down this road and this whole long road to explain Efshel L'Sochto, maybe it's a bad mashal, I don't know, it's what goes through my head, but we're heading down this whole long road to try to explain Efshel L'Sochto Aser, even if you hold if you reject Chanan, but it doesn't really explain the actual person who rejects Chanan, meaning Rabbeinu Ephraim, who actually rejects Chanan, l'chora isn't really solved by this. So Now, that's as far as what we did last time. Now let's move a little bit weiter in terms of how we paskin la halacha on this issue of chaticha nas nevela when it comes to shari surim and efshal lesochto when it comes to shari surim. So again, we said according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's nothing to talk about. Of course, efshal lesochto asur because you hold of Chanan everywhere, and if you hold of Chanan, you have to hold efshal lesochto asur because again, the logic is that I don't care that I could be sochet that which was nivla bo, the chaticha itself is iser. Chaticha nasas nevela. So you could be sochet whatever you want from it, but the chaticha itself remains aser. So for us, Ashkenazi Jews, Achenu b'nei Ashkenaz, the whole point is a moot point, right? Meaning you hold that Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore, efshal lesochto aser, chaticha nasas nevela, there's nothing to talk about. But the Mechaber paskins like Rabbeinu Ephraim, which means that the Mechaber is going to say, we don't hold of Chanan. Okay, so now what does the Mechaber hold about Efshal Lesochto? Ooh, so the tour wanted to say, the equation works both ways. If you don't hold the Chanan, then you hold Efshal Lesochto Mutter, because the two are totally linked with each other. It was the Rashbu who said, not necessarily. Just because you don't hold of Chanan, doesn't mean that you hold Efshal Lesochto Mutter. You could not hold of Chanan and still hold Efshal Lesochto Aser, right? That was the Shitas HaRashba. Two explanations for the Rashba, the Metzias explanation, the Svara explanation. Now, it seems that the Mechaber paskins differently in Basar B'Chalav than he does in Tairoves as far as Efshal Lesochto is concerned. I mean, as far as Chanan is concerned, he's abundantly clear that by Basar B'Chalav there's Chanan, by Shari Surim there is no Chanan. What about Efshal Lesochto? So in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, the Mechaber over here paskins like the Tur. Well, if I don't hold of Chanan b'Shari Surim, then Memela I hold Efshal Lesochto Mutter. Yet in Hilchos Tairoves, the Mechaber seems to paskin like the Rashba, that it could be I reject Chanan b'shari surim, but I'm still going to hold Efshal Lesochto Aser. So is that a stira? Is that something that cannot be reconciled? Is the Mechaber talking out of both sides of his mouth at the same time? So some of the Achronim try to resolve the stira in the Mechaber. And there are two basic mahalchim in how to resolve this stira in the Mechaber. And the way they resolve it, it's always by distinguishing between min b'mino versus min b'sha eino mino. Meaning, it could be that the Mechaber holds, if you reject Chanan, you'll still say Efshal Lesochto Aser, such a chumrah, that Efshal Lesochto Aser, but that's only by Min B'she'eino Mino. Or, it could be that if you hold, that the Mechaber would say, that even though I reject Chanan B'Shari Surim, I'm still going to say Efshal Lesochto Aser, but that's only by Min B'mino. Now, why would you go in one direction or the other? So one is more obvious. Right, meaning, if you're going to be machmir for a tairoves, which tairoves are you more likely to be machmir for? Min b'mino or min b'she'eino mino? So again, we know the basics. Rabbi Reisman always says in his shiurim that when he was learning Yeridaya, he wrote like on the first page of Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, like the basic rules, you know? Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'mino is b'mashehu, but we pass on like the chacham that min b'mino is b'rov midar reisa, it's b'shisha midar rabbana. And min b'she'eino mino is b'shisha midar reisa, because we pass on tam ki ikar dar reisa. Right? Like those are the basic rules. Min b'she'eino mino, you need shishim midar reisa. Min b'mino, we paskin, you don't need shishim midaraisa. You only need shishim midrabanan. So which one is going to be more chamer? A tarov is a min b'mino or a tarov is a min b'sheinu mino? It seems pashut that if you're going to have to say that the mechaber is more machmir by one kind of tarov, he's obviously going to be more machmir by a min b'sheinu mino than he will be by a min b'mino, right? Meaning shishim by a min b'sheinu mino is d'oraisa. By min b'mino, it's only d'rabanan. So it makes sense that even though we make a gzeira, min b'mino needs shishim atu min b'she'eino mino, but it's only a chumra midrabanan. So you know, so what if you have a case of a suffix, right? We discussed that famous story with Reb Chaim and whichever Telzer it was, right? That that conversation. People don't like that story. They say it's a bad example of a case of lamdus in halacha. It's just a matter of halacha and halacha, just identifying the. But that famous story that the chaticha fell in from a non-Jew's pot into a Jewish person's pot. So is it a tarov? So min b'mino, min b'sheino, min it's a suffix, whether you have shishim, whether you don't have shishim. In a case of suffix, so suffix shishim, if it's a min b'sheino, mean you got to be machmir because it's din d'oraisa. If it's min b'mino, then you can be makel because the din of shishim is only din d'rabbanan, and midoraisa bittul berov would work. So if you hold efshal l'sochta asir is a metzias issue, that you're worried that that not enough of the isser came out of the original chaticha, then maybe that would answer the stir in the mechaber. Meaning, if you hold like the Rashba's explanation, why is Efshal L'Sokht Aser, the first explanation, the Metzius explanation of the Rashba, why is Efshal L'Sokht Aser? Because I have no idea what happened. I know that a nevela fell on, you know, Chatichas nevela fell on to this, whatever, to this kosher food, to this kosher chaticha, and then I know that this kosher chaticha fell into a giant chalent pot, but I don't know how much of that original blia came out of the chaticha. It's a metzius question. I just don't know. It could be that 99.9% of it came out, and therefore the original chaticha is fine because it's all gone. Or maybe not. Maybe there's still a significant amount of the blia, meaning the whole issue is an issue of suffix. Oh, okay. So if that's the case, if that's the case, that the whole issue is an issue of safek, so when it comes to a min b'she'eino mino, to a tarov is a min b'she'eino mino, safek d'oraisa l'chum. When it comes to min b'mino, safek d'rabbanan l'kula, because if it's safek, whether you have shishim or you don't have shishim anymore. So it could be that that's the way to resolve the stira in the mechaber. Is it that the rashba is correct? That even if the Rashba is correct, right, that it, we're going to be machmir when it comes to min b'sheino mino, but we could be mekel when it comes to min b'mino. So in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, Mechaber talking about min b'mino. So min b'mino, we could be mekel on efshel l'sochto mutter, whereas in Hilchos Tarov is min b'sheino mino. The other way to look at it is just the reverse, that you're going to be more machmir by min b'mino than you would be by min b'sheino mino. And that's a little more troubling, right? Because, like we just said, min b'mino l'chor is more kal. It's batul barov on a darais level. So the other way to look at it is that if you have tarov's min b'she'eno mino, you can always ask a guy to taste it and see if it's there. Or you could be mvatul b'shishim. But by min b'mino, a guy to taste it is not going to help because it's all min b'mino. So all you have, to the only tool of bitul that you have is shishim. Efshel l'sochta aser, according to the first explanation of the Rashba, the Metzius explanation of the Rashba, is that the original blia may not be reduced below the level of nosin tam, or you can't know that it was reduced below the level of nosin tam. So if you're afraid that there really is tam, get a guy to taste it. But that only helps by min b'sheino mino. So the Mechaber says, look, I could be makel by min b'sheino mino because there's a solution. Get a guy to taste it. But I'm going to be machmir by min b'mino because that's a problem that can never be solved. So really, efshel l'sochto aser, both by min b'mino and min b'sheino mino. But l'maisa, when it comes to min b'sheino mino, just get a guy and then you'll solve your problem. Meaning when l'maisa, when it comes to min b'sheino mino, you could just ask a guy to come and he'll taste it and that will solve the problem. That's as far as the shitas hamechaber when it comes to efshel l'sochto again. According to the Ramah, it's academic. According to the Ramah, the whole thing is irrelevant because we hold Chatikah Nasavela Bishari Sudam. Someone says Chatikah Nasavela. The Gemara says you're going to hold Efshel L'Sochto Asur. The whole question was only according to the Mechaber. If I reject Chatikah Nasavela Bishari Sudam, so there's no Gemara to tell me what to do about Efshel L'Sochto. So Mela, I'm left with a question about Efshel L'Sochto. However, even according to the Ramah, there may be something to talk about over here. Meaning when the Ramah says that we hold chatich nasan veil b'shari surim. Is the Rama saying that like b'toris vadai, meaning I'm a Rabbeinu Tam Jew and that's it? Rabbeinu Tam is correct, Rabbeinu Ephraim is incorrect, v'zehu. Or is the Rama saying, look, there's a machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim is a very big Jew and Rabbeinu Tam is a very big Jew. I don't want to run afoul of either one of them. So misafik, we're going to have to be machmir. And we're going to have to assume chatich nas naveli even b'shari surim. So it seems that the Rama does have a little bit of wiggle room when it comes to chanan by shari surim. And that's in combination with the machlokas Rashi and Ri that we were discussing last week. The Rama puts together the sugya of Chanan and the sugya of Tipas Chol V'Shnofa Chaticha, where we had the Machlokes Rashi in the Ri. What exactly is the case? Was the Chaticha that the Challah fell on partially in the gravy, or was it totally above the gravy? Rashi, remember, right? Rashi said the case was the Chaticha was partially in the gravy, was in the rotav, and nevertheless you're allowed to look at that chaticha as if it's independent of everything else in the pot. So you're going to say chanan on that chaticha even though there's shishim in the pot, connected the challah that fell onto that chaticha. And then now that chaticha is going to now trafe up the rest of the pot, right? That's what the Mishnah said. The Ri said that no, if the chaticha is at all in the rotav, then it's just part of the stew. It's part of the biktaroves. So a little bit of milk falls onto a chaticha that's partially in the rotav. There's no chanan. The whole thing is going to be batel. So Rashi l'chora is a big chumra, right? Rashi is a big chumra because Rashi says even when it's partially in the rotav, I'm going to take the whole chaticha, I'm going to say chanan, and now when you subsequently give it a stir with the rest of the pot, now I need shishim keneged the entire chaticha. The Ri is a big kula. A little bit of challah fell onto is often, most often, a big kula, right? We pointed out last week that the Ri is also a chumra if you don't have shishim, connected that piece of challah, right? To connected that the drop of challah, right? Remember, meaning if we said that a little bit of challah falls onto the chaticha, and you don't have shishim in the entire pot, connected that chaticha, the whole pot's automatically asur. Whereas according to Rashi, no, just don't stir it. Only that chaticha that it fell on is asur. Quickly get it out of there, and then the rest of the pot's going to be mutter, right? So, but fundamentally, in the classic case where you do have shishim keneged the tipas chalav, but you don't have shishim keneged the chaticha that the piece of chalav fell on, classically Rashi is a chumra and the Ri is a kula. As far as Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Tam is a chumra that we're going to apply chatich nas naveli even b'shari surim, and Rabbeinu Ephraim is a kula. No, chatich nas naveli, like we said, very mistaver, only applies to basa b'chalav. Why should it apply to shari surim, where you know what the problem is? The problem is not the kosher piece of meat, it's the nevela that fell on it. Says the Rama, maybe we're not going to say two chumas, meaning since each of these machlokos is a machlokas, and I want to be cautious, but I'm not going to be overly cautious. Meaning, when it comes to basar b'chalav, everyone agrees chatich nas nevela. Yeah, so then I'm going to be machmir even for Shitas Rashi. That a little bit of chalav falls onto chatich of basar, chatich nas nevela for sure, even though the basar is partially in the rotav, and then it's going to go in asr the whole rest of the tarovas, because now I have a chatich nas nevela. Good, that's even when it's partially in the rotav, we're going to be machmir like Shitas Rashi. But when it comes to Shari Surim, where you can't forget that there exists a Jew by the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there's no Chanan b'Shari Surim, so maybe we don't have to be Machmir for Shitas Rashi. Now, again, I want to be Machmir that there is Chanan b'Shari Surim, but not a double Chumrah. I'm not going to say that there's Chanan b'Shari Surim and be Machmir for Shitas Rashi, that I'm going to apply Chanan, that I'm going to apply Chanan, even when the thing is partially in the Rotav. So, only if the chaticha is totally outside of the rotav, that's when I'm going to say chanan b'shari surim. It's partially outside of the rotav, so good. So now, if it's totally outside of the rotav, so now everyone would agree this is going to be a chanan type of situation. So now, b'machmir for Rabbeinu Ephraim, that will apply chanan even b'shari surim. But if it's a case where not even everyone would agree that you're dealing with a Hanan situation, it's partially in the Rotav, partially outside of the Rotav. Is that a Hanan situation? Machlokas Rashi and the Ri. Not everybody agrees that that's a Chatich Hanas Nevela situation. Oof, not everybody agrees that it's even a Chatich Hanas Nevela situation. I'm not going to be so machmir to call it a Chatich Hanas Nevela situation and say that there's Hanan b'shari surin. Remember we saw the Shach last week where the Shach says, what are you talking about? No one holds like Rashi. Everyone rejects Rashi. So you could be make like the Ri even in case of Basar B'Chalev. Meaning, you could always be make like the Ri. Rashi is pashut rejected. So according to the Shach, you don't do it Sira Fashitos over here. Rashi is rejected, and we're machmir for Chanan, b'shari surin. That's it. There's only one factor over here. That's the way the Shach read it. But the Ramah is going to be machmir efshel softo aser even for shari surim, since Rabbeinu Tam definitely paskened that way, and Rabbeinu Ephraim might have paskened that way too. Meaning this is where our whole analysis comes back to us. What does Rabbeinu Ephraim hold about efshel softo by shari surim? Right, so you might say the Rama will say, "I don't care. I don't pass in that way anyway. I hold Hanan b'shari surim." No, but you do care because you don't 100% hold Hanan b'shari surim. You hold that it's still the machlokas. So even when it comes to shari surim, you could be makel with the other chatichos as far as that chaticha itself, you're gonna have to be machmir. So the Rama's not makil on that much when it comes to shari surim, but still you have because of that consideration that maybe even Rabbeinu Ephraim holds that as far as that chaticha is concerned that you're still going to say efshel l'softo aser. Micah, were you? Who was it? Who was raising their hand before? Oh, Azim. Okay.
Could you say also, meaning just I guess to add on to that, meaning for Rashi holds a little tom kicker in general is the Rabbanan, so he would definitely hold by Bishari Surim that we wouldn't say Hanan. So if you're going to hold like Rashi about the half, then you'd also have to hold like Rashi that Hanan Bishari Surim wouldn't apply.
Right, that's always a question that whenever you have two shitos that have nothing to do with each other, but said by the same person, you know, do you say like that? That, you know, if my name is Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, what would I say about it? Or do you say, no, these are two separate shitos that are not really connected to each other? There's a tshuva like that. What was the case? I wrote about it in my sefer, I think. There was a tshuva from Rav Asher Weiss to Tzvika Reisman. I was just thinking of Tzvika Reisman the other day because, I don't know if you guys remember, about a year ago, Tzvika came to, you guys know Tzvika Reisman from Los Angeles? That he's a chashev yid. He wrote like 20 svarim, maybe more, called Rutz Katzvi. He's a businessman. He's the CEO of a major cosmetics company. So he came to yeshiva last year, and he gave a shiur. We wanted to be mechabed him properly. So Rav Shechter came to the shiur. Like, you know, there was some chashev people at the shiur, and he gave a shiur. It was like the end of January, and he was giving a shiur about this crazy thing no one ever heard of, that there was some virus in China that was going around, and he gave like this whole shiur of like, you know you have this virus and you're not careful and you infect somebody else, so you chayiv and dine mamanis. I'm like, what's he talking about? Who ever heard of this virus? What's he even saying? Like, didn't like we were just, you know, like it was, I mean, a few months later he was, Nebuch Tzvika was on the ventilator, Baruch Hashem, he had a refuah. And Nisim Gluyim that he had a refuah. Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael still has its Tzvika Reisman. But anyway, so in the tshuva, Rav Asher Weiss wrote to him. Oh, it was something about the shir of Shar Mashkim for Bracha Achrona. He tried to make two machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Taz connect to each other, where he said, you know, if you're the Taz, then you hold this way. And Rav Asher, I don't remember the details exactly, but Rav Asher Weiss wrote back to him. V'chikruchen yardu min hashamayim, meaning the two shitos of the Taz, did they come down kruchen min hashamayim? Were they have anything to do with each other? Meaning you're not the Taz, you have to paskin in this machlokas Magen Avraham and Taz, and that machlokas Shach and Taz. It has nothing to do with each other. So you know, it's a good question in learning. Are you supposed to look at it like if I'm that person, or do you say no? These are, we study shitos, and the shitos have nothing to do with each other. Someone else has something to say? Oh wait, there was a comment here. does the comment say? How far do we take this when we say that Rama will be makil like Rabbeinu Ephraim by Tipas Chalav? Will we use Rabbeinu Ephraim as Snif Lahakil in other cases? I think so. I think so. Meaning, you always have Rabbeinu Ephraim in your mind. And again, I don't know how many cases it actually comes up, but it's certainly not completely rejected from the halacha. So you always have Rabbeinu Ephraim in your mind, and especially from a Rama perspective, where Rama paskins everything misafik. Right, everything is only misafik, l'chora, not like the shach. The next piece is what the Rama says. Rama comes up with another chumrah. And the Rama says, and it's based on the Gemara, but it's a chumrah. The Rama says that we're makel like the Ri, against Rashi, at least based on by being mitzarif the different shitos. But, says the Rama, when you have what's called an Isser Davuk, meaning the Isser attaches itself to the Heter, then we have to look at it like the Heter was outside the Rotov and the Isser fell in it. Whoa. So I'm going to be make it like the Ri, that if the Isser is partially submerged in the Heter, I view it as if one big, like it's one big Tarovis. I mean, the Chatich is partially submerged in the the stew, and a little bit of Isra falls on that chaticha. It's a one big bitzel b'shisha, right? It's one big taros. But if it's Isra davuk, if the Isra attaches itself to the partially submerged chaticha, that's what we call Isra davuk. For an Isra davuk, we're going to say that you view it as independent, you view it as if it's outside the stew, which is not what the Reed normally says. That's like a Rashi point of view. But Isser Davuk, the Ri is going to be Moded Arashi. Right? That's essentially what the Rama says. Now when it comes to an Isser Davuk, you view it as if it's standing there independently. So we paskin Chanan by Beshari Surin, we're going to be Machmir, that an Isser Davuk needs Shishim, not only Keneged, the original Isser, but Keneged, the original Heter as well. Because we're going to say Chanan by anything, by Shari Surim as well. Where does that come from? So the Gra in the Bira Gra, in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch over here, says it's a Mishnah. Yerech shenisbashal begid. A yerech, a thigh, shenisbashal begid. You're only cooking a thigh. You're not cooking anything else. It's just the thigh that's in the special begid. So im yesh ba b'no saint tam. If the thigh has a no saint tam of the gid, so you're going to tell me, what do you mean? What are you talking about? We don't pass on like any of this. So there's no im yesh ba b'no saint tam. You're right. We don't pass on like any of this. But in principle, it's telling us a very important klal. It's telling us a very important klal. That if there were such a thing as yesh begidim b'no saint tam, that yerech would become usur, even though there may be a lot of other things in the pot also. There may be a lot more meat in the pot also. If just the Yerech would have the time of the Gid, it would be Asr, even though there's a whole animal in the pot. Why? Because the Yerech is Davuk to the Gid. That's where the Rama pulls, I mean, he gets from Rishonim, but that's where these Rishonim pull this notion of Isr Davuk. It's from the Mishnah. Normally we talk about Chala falling on Basa, but over here, a Davar Asr and a Davar Mutter that are stuck to each other, a part of an animal connected to another part of an animal, that actually becomes an Isser Davuk. Why is it a chumrah not obvious? Because we have to understand what's it based on. Like, where does this Isser Davuk come from? So it could
but
be
considered one chaticha. If it's Davuk, it's one chaticha. You view it as one chaticha.
Yeah, but it's mixed in with. I view a whole stew as one stew. Meaning, why would I view that chaticha as if it's outside of the stew? It's in my chalent. So shouldn't it just be part of the chalent? So it should become batul b'shishim in the chalent. Right? So,
yeah, thank you.
So what's the svara for Isser Davuk? So it could be that it's similar to like what the Rashba said. Right? What was the Rashba's idea when it came to Efshel Sochta? The Rashba said, well, maybe, even if you don't hold of Chanan, you're still going to say Efshel Sochta Asr, because I don't know that I was able to draw it all out. Meaning that simply because they're stuck to one another, the Isser is going to be much stronger in that Chaticha than it will be in the rest of the pot. See, even though in a chinami it disperses throughout the pot, but disperses evenly throughout the pot? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it remains, the tam remains much stronger in that chaticha that it's davuk to. Or, the other way to understand it is, yeah, right now it's in the chalent. Maybe you gave that chalent one, vigorous stir at some point, and when you vigorously stirred that chalent, that chaticha that had the yisr davuk to it came outside of the pot, above the rotav. And if that happened, right then, you had tam that goes into that and does not get spread evenly. So either it's a chashash of what might have happened, as I was stirring, that's the second way we said, or that it's similar, it's like the Rashba's idea, that in Mitzias I don't know that I'm able to draw out all of this Isser. Yeah, or not dry. I don't know that this Isser was evenly dispersed throughout the whole Chalent, which is, I guess, what David Kirsch was trying to say a second ago, that of course there's more Isser in the Chaticha than it's Davuk to. Not of course, it's a Sefik. Maybe there's more Isser in the Chaticha than it's Davuk to. And that's the notion of Isser Davuk. Rabbi Sablowski had an amazing Maisa related to this. He gets like unbelievable shaila sometimes. He had an amazing Maisa related to this. He said he got a call from a Rav one year on Erev Rosh Hashanah that a woman was cooking fish heads for Rosh Hashanah, for the simen. So some people actually eat fish heads. In our family, jellyfish. We take not actually, the candy, jellyfish. Those are our fish heads. That's our simen. Because we're not so, we can't stomach actual fish. Although there's a caterer that every year buys me a lamb's head, a sheep head, and I always bring it to the table for shtick, and everyone freaks out. But that's a certain cue. But he cooks it for me, everything. I could eat it if I was so inclined. But so this woman was cooking fish heads, and she really wanted, I guess that was the family menu, that they were going to eat fish heads. Anyone here actually eat fish heads in Rosh Hashanah? Anyone actually have a fish head on the table for Rosh Hashanah? Oh, okay, so good. So that's an old minute, to have fish head. Eating fish head is, you have to be hearty enough to want to eat it. But, the simanim are good enough. You could say the yihi ratzons even if you don't eat it, in Rosh Hashanah. It's the whole point is that it's supposed to be ma'ur kavana. It's a po'al dimyon for tefillah, right? It's an rabban, right? It's not a violation of nichush or anything like that. It's just a po'al dimyon for tefillah, just like you have an inyan of a po'al dimyon for a nevuah, that a nevuah becomes a stronger kind of nevuah when you have some sort of prop that's there for the nevuah. You have such a thing by tefillah as well. But Rabbi Sablowski had the following shayla. A woman was cooking a bunch of fish heads, and she saw out of one of the mouths of one of the fish, there was what looked like a claw sticking out of the mouth of one of the fish. And she looks a little closer. Why does this fish have a claw in its mouth? And she took a picture of it and sent it to someone who knows these things, a fisherman or something. And the guy said, oh, that fish clearly ate a lobster before it was caught. And there's a little bit of lobster still in its mouth. Meaning the fish was having a really great day. He was like, wow, I found a lobster. This is delicious. Chomp, chomp, chomp. Look, and there's a worm. Chomp, killed. Caught, right? And then the fish is dead. So it was really great day, turned into a really bad day. But it was a mamish, be'idna, that he was chewing on the lobster, that the fish got caught, and he ended up in the kosher fish market, and he ended up being cooked in the pot. So the shaila was, how much other ingredients are there in the pot? There were spices, and there were vegetables, and there were this and that, and whatever in the pot. So there was shishim connected the lobster in the pot. But there was not shishim in that one fish head, keneged, the lobster in that fish's mouth. Oh, okay. So how often do you get a shayla like this, right? This is mamish isur davuk, right? This is exactly what the Ramah is talking about. The lobster was davuk to the fish head. So according to the Mechaber, that there's no chanan b'shari surim. Okay, so the rest of the pot is fine. Right, there's no chanan, and you don't have to worry about isur davuk at all. There's no chumra isur davuk, so that's it. So it's a batal b'shishim. You'll probably throw out that fish head, but everything else is fine. But according to the Ramah, that you have an isur davuk, so the isur davuk makes it chanan. meaning forget about the fact that that you're not going to eat that fishhead. She wasn't going to eat that fishhead anyway. But now it's going to be chatichanas nevela. That entire fishhead becomes nevela. And now you're going to need shishim keneged that one fishhead. So can you imagine the disappointment of her family? That's that Rosh Hashanah when they couldn't eat the other fishheads because that one fishhead had an Isser Davuk. Rabbi Sablovsky said the following year the same rabbi called on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and he saw it on caller ID. He was so excited, like, to get another call from the same rabbi, and it was just like a silly question the following year. And it was like, okay, you only lightning doesn't strike twice, right? You only get so lucky one time. But okay, but that's I don't know how many other examples I've ever heard of Shaila of an Isser Davuk, but you know, Bishari Sum. You don't get that many shailas about shari surim bichlal, right? Most of the shailas that you get when you're talking in a Jewish kitchen are basa b'chalav shailas. You don't have too many shari surim shailas in a Jewish kitchen. Although this week, if you're a rabbi this week in a modern Orthodox community, you are dealing with a lot of shailas about non-kosher kitchens and what to do in non-kosher kitchens, because everyone, like me, everyone is, a lot of people are away and all these places with renting places with non-kosher kitchens. Okay, but anyway, we still have a lot more to do within Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim, and I do want to continue that tomorrow, namely as far as the rayas, as far as who's correct, meaning there are a couple of basic rayas that the Baal Dei HaTosfos quote in terms of Rabbeinu Tam versus Rabbeinu Ephraim, and there's also an important chilik or potential chilik between Lach B'Lach versus Lach B'Yavish, even let alone Yavish. It's never going to be Yavish B'Yavish when it's liquids that mix together versus a liquid that drips into a solid. So Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll try to finish up Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim, and then we'll move on from there to after Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim, then we move on to if a milk spritz is on a fleshig pot opposite the food, that's sif hey, and then what happens if milk spritz is on the fleshig pot not opposite the food, and then also in the simon we have the issue of zeya. Zeya as far as spice dispensers are concerned, as far as ovens are concerned. This simon is, and then we also have pots touching each other at the end of Simon Sadi Beis Sivches. We're going to have Ramah about pots touching each other. So there's a lot over here. This simon is going to take us a little bit. But Bezrum, tomorrow we'll try to finish up Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.